Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Several fixtures in Delaware state politics have announced they won't seek re-election this year, some after decades in their seat. Their decisions to step aside leave room for new faces, and the possibility a seat or two could flip to the other party. Incumbents opting to leave has become a bit of a trend in the first state. In both 2022 and 2024, multiple incumbents did not pursue their seats in the General Assembly again. This week, Delaware Public Media political reporter Bento Boutier dives into this trend and the implications of this round of retirements with University of Delaware professor Paul Brewer, who specializes in political communication and public opinion.
We have several lawmakers retiring from the General Assembly, both in the Senate and the House. I was hoping to chat with you to see what your take on this is.
There's sometimes idiosyncratic reasons why legislators retire. The Democrats in the legislature are one seat away from having a majority where they can pass constitutional amendments without any Republican help. That's a stake for the fall elections, which these retirements could influence when candidates step down. There's no incumbency advantage. The odds of the seat flipping could go up. Legislators have lots of different reasons for retiring. Sometimes they think that they're going to be facing a tough re-election battle. Maybe their district has changed in a way that they think is going to make it harder to win re-election. Maybe a more interesting part of it from our point of view is that there are also bigger picture factors that influence retirements. So, for example, a party that looks like it's going to go out of power may face higher levels of retirement. I think we're seeing this at the national level in Congress, where there's a really high level of retirements, especially on the Republican side, because the forecast suggests that the Republicans are going to have a very hard time keeping control of the House. If you're a legislator and you're likely or nearly certain to be in the minority party, that can be an incentive to retire. Minority party members don't really get to do a lot, especially if a situation like Delaware, where one party has a pretty strong grip on power. Legislators, when incumbents are in that situation, some of them decide this isn't worth it to me anymore. I'll pursue other opportunities or spend more time with my family. You know, sometimes they might even mean that.
There are a couple things I wanted to return to there. Facing a tough re-election, you're looking at people who have been in for 10 years or more. So it kind of seems like when we're looking at the list of names here, Heffernan, Gray, Lawson, Collins, Charles Postles, Dave Sekola. These are people who their constituents know really well.
In general, incumbents win Delaware legislative races. The big advantages, one is fundraising. People like winners. It's easier for them to raise money. The other is that they have name recognition. So you get to Sekola and like, oh yeah, of course, he's my state senator. In a low information environment, which is pretty characteristic of Delaware elections, it's tough to get your message out there without money and without doing a lot of retail politics, door-to-door politics, which, because Delaware's a small state, that's still actually a feasible thing to do. The higher up you go, U.S. Senate races in competitive states, the incumbency advantage isn't that big. Now, there have been incumbents that have lost in Delaware, if you look at the list, but there aren't that many.
We get to 2020 and Democrat state senators flipped two seats in the Senate, but also four of seven incumbent Democrat lawmakers lost their seats to challengers. But that was kind of an unusual year.
Yeah, it's a change election or a wave election. Special individual circumstances, which I think explain some of the incumbent losses in Delaware legislative races recently, or there are big picture national circumstances, waves that sort of catch incumbents in their tide. That's when you can see incumbents lose sometimes. I'm not saying that Delaware is immune to those political tides. I think there's good reason to think that if the elections were being held today, there'd be some very challenging national political circumstances for Republican candidates in particular.
And then I wanted to return national dynamics a little bit. The number of Congress representatives that announced a retirement in maybe 56, I'm saying that's the most in 30 years, right? I'm wondering what reasons that might influence anything with our state politicians.
There could be multiple ways that the bigger picture spills over. One is these national kind of partisan tides. If potential candidates think that there's going to be a wave election, say a wave election that helps Democrats and hurts Republicans, which is a possibility. Republicans who foresee a close race may decide this isn't the year. There are also two other things besides the national political trend in terms of partisan lean. One is polarization. At the national level, legislative politics has become very polarized, increasingly polarized over the last couple of decades. What I mean by that, members of the two parties are farther apart from each other. So they might be more coherent. There aren't as many conservative Democrats or liberal Republicans, but when the parties are farther apart, it can create a contentious legislative environment where compromise is difficult. You sent me a study that suggests, and I find it very plausible, that in terms of state-level polarization in legislatures, Delaware is on the low end. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Delaware has a history of kind of centrist, quote-unquote, Delaware way politics. Maybe the state is moving away from that somewhat. One thing that I do wonder about that I think has gotten some discussion in public discourse, whether American politics in general is becoming increasingly violent. There's a potential assassination attempt on the president. How many days ago was that? Not very long ago. Increasingly, legislators may see a career in politics as risky for their personal safety.
The state is kind of unique politically because there's this through line of interest in the corporate franchise. There's bipartisan support for House Bill 370 to codify DFAC, and that seems like a pretty good example of times lawmakers are unusually cohesive or in step from both sides of the aisle.
People who have been in Delaware politics a long time, they might talk about Mike Castle, Republican. So he was more of a moderate, business-friendly Republican. The DuPont family had some politicians in that mold, too. They were also the kind of politicians who seemed very open to working with similarly corporate-friendly Democrats. Point to people here like Tom Carper, the past governor John Carney. When you have leaders of both parties being non-extreme on a lot of, kind of social issues and then being close to the middle of the road on a corporate-friendly political ethos, then that makes cooperation pretty easy. Now, there aren't as many Mike Castle Republicans on a prominent stage statewide. The state Republican Party has gone more down the road of the Tea Party as the Democrats have solidified their control over statewide elected offices and the legislature. There's more of an obvious tension between the more centrist, corporate-friendly elements of the party and then the more progressive, anti-corporate elements of the party, which I think shows up a lot in Democratic Party politics and primaries.
That's been getting talked about within the Republican Party for a second now. It feels like that's been developing at a national level in my memory since like Sarah Palin became a national name for people, but it seems to have maybe hit Delaware a little later. I'm wondering what you see as the chances of seeing these kinds of candidates crop up within the state Republican Party now.
Sarah Palin, she was 2008. I feel like kind of the first Sarah Palin-like figure in Delaware politics was probably Christine O'Donnell, who I mentioned Mike Castle earlier. He was running to be the Republican Senate nominee in 2010 and was expected to win both the nomination and be a very strong contender in the general election. But he was upset by a Tea Party candidate, Christine O'Donnell, who then went on to lose pretty handily to Chris Coons. And since then, I think you have seen some more candidates in the Palin mold. More recently, since the rise of Donald Trump, we might call them Make America Great style. Generally, candidates like that have done poorly in general elections in Delaware. It'd be very tough to run. But it's interesting to watch who the Republicans nominate in these statewide races because I think it's been a challenge for them to find strong, credible candidates with high chances of winning in these statewide races over the past few election cycles. You had sent me an article suggesting that they were recruiting a candidate for attorney general who had actually run for two statewide offices before and lost, so she turned them down.
You've said like kind of a lack of good candidates available. Is because that was at their nominating party. They brought her up. They hadn't found anyone. She found out after the fact that she was getting nominated, which seems like an interesting way to find out you could be running for political office.
It doesn't seem typical little history. I think that's how Zachary Taylor found out that he was the Whig Party nominee. But obviously, I don't know the detailed circumstances behind that, but it seems like an indicator, a party having a challenge finding strong candidates. I think that's important. You look at positions like attorney general, that's a very credible platform for running for governor, Senate candidates. If the Republican Party could place a candidate in one of these lower statewide offices, actually attorney general is like the two or three spot, like treasurer or insurance commissioner, anything would give them a starting point for running a candidate for a higher office.
I think he's the chair of the Republican Party in the state was saying he thought there was a place for Republicans to gain that foothold. It feels like your evaluation of that seems unlikely.
He's the head of the state Republican Party, so, you know, he's got to say that. Fall elections are 6 months out. A lot could happen. Looks like it could be tough for the Republican Party in general in 2026. Broadly speaking, national political environments spill over. Looking at public opinion polling, Donald Trump's polling numbers are pretty low right now. He's like the high 30s, which is a rough place for a president to be.
Gorman is running for Sokola's open seat, and she's in the House. And so where you see the Democratic Party going, kind of more of the same amongst them.
You can point to individual legislators who might be on the progressive side of the Democratic Party's political spectrum, to the left of not just people like Carney, but maybe to the left of the current governor, Matt Meyer, too. There has been some tensions within the Democratic caucus over who's going to be their speaker. That boiled over a cycle ago. But really high-profile positions, I don't think there's been an AOC yet of the Delaware Democratic Party. You know, a really high profile person who's taken on the Delaware political establishment. Instead, it's been more competition between more traditional Delaware politicians. Two of the things I've been watching for years is, can the Republicans come back and recover at the statewide level? The other one is there going to be, on the other side, a more progressive Delaware politician who really stands outside the Delaware way, wins a statewide election, becomes a U.S. rep or a governor or even a lieutenant governor.
Thanks to University of Delaware Professor Paul Brewer and our Benta Boutier for joining us on The Green this week. And stay with us. The Green continues with a look at technology developed years ago at UD that may now be ready to help electric grid capacity. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.